أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء أشرف المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. فقال المؤلف ثم الإسناد. We talked about the different types of ta'an on a rawi. يعني how do you criticize a narrator. طيب, let's go back to the basics. What are the five shurut for a hadith to be sahih? One of them, adl al-rawi and dabt al-rawi. We covered these right now. How does that get violated? I mean, the adl of a rawi and the dabt of a rawi. The other thing was ittisal al-sanad. We covered that already as well. Tayyib, how well connected is the chain? Tayyib, what else? We talked about shudud, and we'll cover a little bit about shudud later as well. And we talked about ilal, and we talked about ziyada, and we talked about these things as well. Now, the mu'allif here, Ibn Hajar Asqalani, he's talking about the isnad and how far it reaches. Tayyib, does that affect the authenticity of the hadith? La. But this is why we tell the tulab ilm, the students of knowledge, to understand that mustalal hadith is more than just sahih and da'if. Everybody just, يعني their mind, their thinking stops at sahih and da'if. Maybe they go to mawdu' and, oh, that's like Shaykh al-Hadith now. Right? La. There is a lot more to this science. And it all serves the master purpose, the maram, the goal that we have, which is to preserve the religion as it was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib, so if this does not affect the authenticity of the hadith, then how did it serve that purpose? Inshallah, you will learn by the end of the dars today. The mu'allif, he says that either the path reaches ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tasrihan aw hukman. Tayyib, what does that mean? And this is from An-Nukhba. Ibn Hajar Asqalani himself in An-Nuzha, in Nuzhatu An-Nadhar, he explains that مثال المرفوع من قول التسريحا يعني إذا يقول الصحابي سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول كذا أو حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بكذا أو يقول وهو أو غيره قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كذا أو عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال كذا أو نحو ذلك. طيب, when you say a hadith is marfu', what does that mean? Yani it reaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Does that mean it's sahih? La. Because yes, it reaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the rest of the chain could have somebody who's weak, could have a kadib, yani a liar, kadhab, a continuous liar. It could have somebody who's su'al hifd, yani he has a weak memory. It could be mu'allaq, yani the rest of the chain could be gone. What is this telling you? That it does reach the Prophet ﷺ, but it is not telling you that it reaches the Prophet ﷺ in a connected, authentic manner. Tayyib. Ibn Hajar gets into a lot of different aqwal, but I'll just mention one thing about a musnad hadith. When I see beginning tullab, and I want to test if they have studied mustalah correctly, one of the questions that I used to ask would be, tell me the difference between a muttasil and a musnad hadith. What's the difference between a hadith that is muttasil and musnad? And this every beginning student should know this. Al-Bayquniya covers this. Al-Nukhba covers in Ibn Hajar goes into great detail, Nushan, a lot of khilaf. I don't even know if I want to go there, but I'm going to explain it very simply. Tayyib? Muttasil means a chain is connected. Musnad, hadith. Not talking about types of kutub al-hadith. Musnad and kutub al-hadith is a different issue. In mustalal hadith, when we say a hadith is musnadan ila al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that means it is marfu' and muttasil. The chain is connected and it reaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib, but when you say muttasil, it does not clarify whether it is mawquf, maktu' or marfu'. All of those could be connected, but not all of those reach the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib? When you say marfu', it does not show that it's muttasil. It could have breaks. When it's musnad, then it's both متصل connected and مرفوع يعني all the way to رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It could still be weak because connected, but it could have weak narrators. But you need to know the differences. Why? This is right now you are not at the level of where you're studying علم الرجال, like about this rawi is da'if, and you should not be giving hukum on ahadith, this is sahih or da'if. Right now you're just learning the language to be able to discuss this. Mustalah al-hadith is just to understand the terminology so you can even step into that field or at least understand what ulama are saying. When a alim says the hadith is maqtu', if you haven't even studied mustalah, just because you've been watching 30-second YouTube videos on who's on and off the manhaj, you wouldn't even know what a maqtu' hadith is. So you don't even know. You will give your own perception to it. And this is the problem. So what we're talking about is rafa', yani rafa', wuquf, وقطعه. يعني either it is where it reaches the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now it can reach the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in a number of different ways. One is تصريحا. تصريحا يعني صريحا, clearly. And the other is حكما. طيب, we'll understand the difference inshallah. Under تصريحا you have different types. طيب, as Ibn Hajar says, one of them of tasrih, yani clearly, no ambiguity, explicitly, you could say, explicitly, when a sahabi says that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say. I'll give you examples. Ibn Hajar doesn't mention a lot of examples here, but I will mention some. In al-Bukhari, in the first hadith in al-Bukhari, Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu says, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على المنبر. I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the member. Tayyib, is there any doubt that what he will convey is marfu'an to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. Why? He said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he even mentioned where he was, so you could see that he had his visuals on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was using his hearing about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another hadith, Tayyib, another example of that. Hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, where he says, I was riding with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he says, Rasulullah told me, ya ghulam, and he addressed me. Hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, where he says, akhada bi mankabay, Rasulullah took me by the shoulder and told me, right? Now all of those are sarihan, yani they are clearly, explicitly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and most of those are qawli. They are where Rasulullah said something, and that is where we took from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tayyib, and there is marfu' fi'lan. Tayyib, what does that mean? If a sahabi says ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yani rafa' al-yadayhi aw mas'a ala khuffihi, yani where sahabi says I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do this. Now here again, there is no doubt to the rafa here. Why? It's explicit. Even though he's not saying that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like the earlier ahadith, but he is saying that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with my own eyes. Yani ra'itu cannot be used ambiguously in the Arabic language. Huh? So again, you have a second form of sarihan min al-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then there is taqriran, yani where you have a tact approval from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is still under tasrih right now. Tayyib. So here we have three ways, and Ibn Hajar, he mentioned that here min qawlihi wa fi'lihi wa taqririhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tayyib, but how would you have explicitly when the hadith is a tact approval, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, didn't say do this or do that, and he didn't do it himself. From examples of that, as Ibn Hajar mentions here, is the Sahaba who asked about early withdrawal during Jama'ah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't explicitly approve it, but he didn't disapprove it, and he didn't show an action of his own about it. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees or hears something and does not condemn it, this is what we call taqreer. Yani this is a tact, yani, and it's an approval in a way where it's not explicit. Or if we see, for example, the hadith about raka'atayn, two raka'at, bad adhan al-maghrib qabla yani salatul fariida, tayyib, meaning there are a hadith where the sahaba during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make raka'atayn after the adhan of maghrib before the salah. So here now, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this and did not condemn it, then this also shows sarihan that this is proven marfu'an, yani clearly from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as long as they say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw this. Tayyib. But let me give a caveat. For example, the hadith about the young boy who led his people in salah and he was yani under bulugh, Haythan al-Bukhari. Here, this was a qabila that had entered Islam recently. So much so that, as the hadith mentioned, his awrah was not covered. When he went to sujood, his yani awrah, his anus to be exact, would show. Until a woman yani offered to buy him a thawb and said, "Won't you cover your qari?" Tayyib. Now this happened during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. But is it explicit that the Prophet ﷺ saw and approved this? Or is it explicit that this news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he approved it? No. Tayyib. So some people say this hadith takes raf', but it doesn't. Right? Tayyib. Now again, another point about that hadith, the qawm was so jahil, yani as far as being yani knowledgeable in Islam, that none of them knew enough Quran to lead salah except a little young kid who had memorized it just by hearing the sahaba when he wasn't even Muslim at that time, and he didn't know the ahkam of yani awrah and all these things. So this is something to keep in mind when you're seeing a hadith and putting the judgments on a hadith. Tayyib. So these are three ways that sarihan, clearly, explicitly, we give the hukam of rafa, yani it is marfu'an, yani it is from, it reaches the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani says there is also hukman, which is implied, implicity, I don't know, implied, I guess, good word for it, right? Meaning, it is not a sahabi saying that ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or a sahabi is not saying yani kunna ma'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa fa'ala kada wa kada, yani he's not saying that we used to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we did this and that, yani we cannot find tasrih yani in this type, but it still gets the hukam of being marfu'. Well, how does that happen? In that we have, as Imam al-Shafi'i mentions, and he has mentioned here as an example, Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in Nuzhat al-Nadr, where we see that Salat Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu fil kusuf, yani when he prayed kusuf, and in every rak'ah he made yani ruku'ain, yani he made two ruku'ah. And we can prove that in other ways as well. But here, when Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu did this, can we say that Ali radiallahu anhu made this hukam himself? La. Those sahaba did not give their own opinion as shari'i ahkam. They would give their opinion to explain a hukam. Yes. But they did not make up the religion on their own. So when a sahabi does a particular ibadah that is not his understanding, but yani a clear departure from regular ways. Tayyib, let me give another example. If a sahabi does an action in ibadah khalif al-qiyas wa ijtihad. For example, if you make masha on your jawrabain or khuffain. طيب قياسا او اجتهادا او عقلا, where would you make masha? The bottom. You're walking, what gets dirty? The bottom. طيب. But the hukam in sharia is what? You make masha on top. So when a sahabi makes masha on top, that hadith gets the hukam of rafa. Because that sahabi would not make up this from his own ijtihad. Because it's khalif to what a person would in his own deduction do. Rather, this is from wahi. The sharia is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these types of cases take a hadith from being mawquf, being the action or saying or hukam or taqreer or explicit tact approval of a sahabi, to being seen that gets the hukam of marfu', because the sahabi would not make up that type of a hukam. Another example, another type that is hukman, where a sahabi, and this example is given here from Ibn Sirin and Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, where he told the people that you will fight a qawm. Tayyib? تقاتلون قوما. You will be engaged in battle with the people. And this is about Ahlul Basra. But here, how would a sahabi like Abu Hurairah anhu know that an event will happen? Does he get wahi? No. Does he know the ghaib? Does he know the future? No. So we say this is something Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a sahabi talks about one of the alamat of the sa'a, one of the signs of the day of judgment, we say this has to be from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because how would he know? Tayyib, but there is an exception there. The exception there is if a sahabi was well versed in Israeliyat. Some of the sahaba were scholars from the Nasara or Yahud before Islam, and if they became Muslim and they talked about some of these things, then for those sahaba we say we have to further investigate. We cannot take that hukam directly, because they may have learned something from Israeliyat and they felt that this was authentic enough to convey. But people like Abu Hurairah, was he a scholar of the Jewish or Christian religion before Islam? La. He is from Banu Ghaffar, who were a people that used to not be scholars in anything. They were raiders or bandits. Alhamdulillah, he became Muslim at a very young age, and he dedicated his life to learning a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As one of the scholars said, that Abu Hurairah knew a hadith like me and you knew Al-Fatiha. You know how we don't, alhamdulillah, inshallah, we don't make mistakes in Al-Fatiha, right? Because we repeat it so much. He knew a hadith like that, right? But he did not know Israeliyat like that. So this is why, in this case, we would give it hukam of rafa. But I mentioned the caveat because I don't want you guys to take this rule and just start. And they say if the only thing you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail to you, right? You just want to hammer everything, because you learn. Some of the brothers, they learn one usul and then they jam it into everything. Don't get carried away. Right now, you're just learning terminology, right? Don't try to implement this yet, because there's always different cases. Tayyib, another example of how you give a hukam of rafa, إِذَا قَالَ صَحَابِي مِنَ السُنَّةِ. If a sahabi says that from the sunnah is this, this is from the sunnah. Tayyib, why would we say that this is something that is given the hukam of rafa, right? Because when you say from the sunnah, in the istilah of the sahaba, this would mean from the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like today, we divide sunnah between ibadat and adat. Tayyib? Meaning, we said يعني حديث بي مرفوع فعل النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام right from the we're talking about the اصطلاح of the علماء في حديثنا not فقهاء فقهاء take سنة to mean مستحب as in our زاد المستكن درس we covered right and علماء في عقيدة took سنة to be عقيدة يعني the عقيدة في الإسلام that's why كتاب السنة وشرح السنة so on in the اصطلاح of the علماء في حديث قول النبي وفعل النبي تقرير النبي وقرار النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام هذا هو السنة طيب but we today divide that into عادات and عبادات for example رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم he rode a camel can we say that as Muslims we have to obey the sunnah and ride a camel لا because we say that was from عادات that was the عرف that was the general tradition of the people of the time that was their transport Today, we have cars or motorbikes or other forms of transportation. So that is our urf and adat. We do not need to be going around downtown San Diego in a camel. Tayyip? But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered us to eat with our right hand. Tayyip? Can we say, no, in America, we like to eat with our left hand? La. That's an amr. There's an order that has to do with ibadat now. That is an ibadah now. To eat with the right hand is an ibadah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave us ahkam of how to make salah. We don't say the Arabs used to make salah like that. No, these are ibadat. So we separate. But the Sahaba did not. When they said minas sunnah, they referred only to ibadat. They did not refer to adat. We separate to explain to people these istalahat today. Sahaba, they understood. They understood that yani the lifestyle was adat. They wouldn't call this from the sunnah. Just like we talk about usul al-fiqh, the Sahaba didn't know the word usul al-fiqh. They didn't need to. So I want to make a little side point now. One of the brothers, may Allah guide us and guide him, he made a statement, a very foolish statement. He said that if you took a Sahabi and you gave him a test on aqidah, as we test today, they would fail. Which just shows how jahil this miskeen is. And even if he's a doctor. Miskeen, wallahi miskeen. The Sahaba wouldn't take tests on Aqidah. They knew Aqidah better than us. They are the ones we learned Aqidah from. They understood Tawheed, Uluhiyah, Rububiyyah, Asma wa Sifat better than us. From their Aqwal, we learn it. They wouldn't be taking our test. We would not be testing them. They would be testing us. And if you get into what Aqidah, Istalahat of Aqidah teach us, they would know it better than us. So, even if they didn't know usul al-fiqh, they understood usul al-fiqh better than us. If they didn't have usul al-khamsa, but they understood those concepts and implemented them better than us. We learned it from them. So, don't get it twisted, doctor. Now, we look at the khilaf between some of the ulama on some of these istalahat, as Ibn Abdul Barr and others, they gave ittifaq on this issue. And Ibn Hajar mentioned some of the khilaf between the ulama and so on. But yani I'm not going to go deep into that because there's no need for it. If some of the ulama thought that the word sunnah can be used for other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we reply as Ibn Hajar has done here as well and others with saying that when they mention somebody else, then they would make yani tasrih, they would clarify who. And from this is the hadith where it mentions that كَسُنَّ عُمْرَيْن يعني when the tabi'een said from the sunnah of the two Umar the two Umar who does it mean? Huh? Who are the two Umars? عُمْرَيْن Umar ibn Khattab لا this is not the hadith of عُمْرَيْن from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم this is the sunnah of عُمْرَيْن عُمْر عبد العزيز لا أبو بكر رضي الله عنه. How? The Arab in linguistics have a usul aswadan, طيب, which is to give sifa of one to two. Aisha رضي الله عنها in the hadith she said that we used to stay off the aswadan, yani the two black things, dates and water. Is water black? I mean, unless you live in Flint, Michigan or something, right? Water is not black. Water is clear or yani. So Arabic language, and this is very important, Because Rasulullah said about adanain, يعني the two adan. One of them is the iqama. Even the iqama is different, but that sifa can be given. We use this in usul al-fiqh then, and an implementation of fiqh. Here, umrain means Abu Bakr and Umar. They took Umar and they gave sifa to both Abu Bakr and Umar. It's not Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and it's not Amr ibn Hisham. So when the Sahaba would use sunnah for somebody else or the tabi'un, then they would clarify the sunnah of somebody else. When they said just min as-sunnah, then we know this is from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many of the ulama said there's ittifaq, yani the agreement of the ulama on this. And Imam Shafi'i and others, they mentioned about this as well. Tayyib. Now, I'm not going to get into a lot of the disagreements and stuff here. Another method that reaches this way is if a Sahabi says that Umirna. Okay? And he clarifies that this was the Zaman of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That we were ordered in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tayyib, when, and this is the hadith about Wada' al-Yadain, for example, in Bukhari, in the Mutta, Imam Malik, and so on, when the Sahabi says that Umirna, we were ordered. Ittifaq of ulama, yani by the agreement of the ulama, this was from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How? Because nobody had the authority to order something in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam except Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If somebody else ordered it, then that Sahabi would say Amara Abu Bakr or Umar or Uthman or so on and so on. Then they would clarify, as we find in some ahadith. But if they just said we were ordered, then no doubt the one who ordered is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is another way that it's marfu' hukman. Tayyib, and there are some other ways as well. In another example, which is given, رواه البخاري في صحيحه من حديث ابن شهاب عن سالم ابن عبد الله ابن عمر عن أبيه. And this is a famous hadith from Bukhari from ابن شهاب from Salim, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, from his father, yani from Abdullah ibn Umar, regarding Hajj, and he says that verily from the Sunnah is to move with Salah, yani in the day of Arafah. Ibn Shihab, he asked Salim, he said, is this from the fi'l of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the response to that was that who else can we say that it's from their Sunnah? And this is later. But even then, yani this was very clear that Salim, he said that this is from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if we said min as-sunnah. And Salim is from the fuqaha al-sab'a of al-Madina. And Ibn Hajar, he mentions this as well. Tayyib. Another method is when a sahabi gives a shari'i hukam that could not be from his ijtihad. Tayyib. An example of that is Ammar radiyallahu anhu, who said, Man sama al-yawm al-ladhi yushak fihi, faqad asa Aba al-Qasim. And whoever fasts on the day of doubt, yani regarding Eid, if you fast on the day when there is doubt, or Ramadan, then they have disobeyed Abu al-Qasim. Who's Abu al-Qasim? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, did he say in this hadith that I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give this hukam? No. But when he gave that hukam shari'i, saying that this would be disobedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we say this hadith has the hukam of marfu'. It is hukman marfu'. Tayyib. Now, this is marfu'. You understood marfu' now? Two subcategories, which is tasrihan or hukman. Then under tasrih, we give three subcategories. And under hukman, we give many subcategories. Tayyib. Or a hadith will reach a sahabi. Tayyib. Who is a sahabi? Who is considered a sahabi? There is khilaf ulama. Tayyib. But as Ibn Hajar Asqalani mentions here, and this is the jamhur, this is the majority opinion, man laqiya nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mu'minan bihi ومات على الإسلام. طيب. This is the first. We'll get into some other issues here. The first thing is, who is a Sahabi? The one that met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. طيب. Are we saying saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or met? What's the difference? Ibn Hajar mentioned this in Nusha very beautifully. What's the difference? If you say, you have to be precise. If you say, man ra'a, man, whoever saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what about Sahaba like Ibn Umul Makthub radiallahu anhu, who was blind? Do we say he wasn't a Sahabi? No, no doubt he was a Sahabi, even though he was blind. So this is why we say whoever met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tayyib, what are the shurut here? First, he met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next, mu'minan bihi, yani he was a believer in the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he died upon Islam. Tayyib, what if somebody became a murtad and came back to Islam? Somebody who became, like many of the people during the battle of Musaylim al-Kadhab and the Murtaddin, there were those, we'll mention here, Al-Ash'at ibn Qais. Al-Ash'at ibn Qais, Ash'ath ibn Qais, famous Sahabi, he was a Muslim, he became a Murtad, and during the time of Abu Bakr radiyallahu, he made Tawbah, and he came back to Islam. Now, does he have the hukum of being a Sahabi or not? Ibn Hajar Asqalani says yes. And he gives a dalil here in Nusrat al-Nadr. He says that Abu Bakr radiyallahu, at that time, he took him and got him married to his sister. And he accepted him to be a Muslim, and even saw such good in him, they got him married to his sister. So, and none of the Sahaba, they disagreed on this. So, all of the ulema after that time recorded him amongst the Sahaba. So this means that the shurut, the three shurut, meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and dying upon Islam are mutlaqan, even if for a part of his life he fell here and there. Another example is Ayyash radiyallahu. He was Muslim and then he became Murtad, then he came back to Islam. And all of the kutub of tariq of the lives of Sahaba include him amongst the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Tayyib. Now, if a hadith reaches a Sahabi, what is that called? Mawquf. Waqf. Waqf means to stop. Does that mean it's da'if? La. It just tells you that this is from a Sahabi radiallahu anhu. Tayyib. Can it be used as a hujjah? And this is not mustalah al-hadith. I'm deviating a little bit from, not from Islam, inshallah, but just from the matan here to give you an additional fa'ida. Because the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where yani, sometimes from one question he would add to give additional fawaid. Khilaf of ulama and usul and things, but I will just give you the hukam. The qawl or fi'l of a sahabi is a hujjah if none of the marfu' hadith, yani there is nothing from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam khalif to it, no other sahabi acted khalif to it, no other sahabi condemned it, and no shak or yani issue of ajz, yani of, for example, old age or things like this come into play, then the qawl and fi'l of a sahabi can become a hujjah in sharia. But if a sahabi did something and we have a marfu' hadith khalif to it, then, and I'm simplifying this, in usul al-fiqh we can go a lot deeper, but it does not become a hujjah. If a sahabi did something and another sahabi did something opposite to it, then it's no longer a hujjah. If a sahabi did something, but we know that he did things due to old age or loss of memory and things, then that is no longer a hujjah. Tayyib, and so on and so on. So for example, Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu raised his hands in qunut. Can we use that a hujjah? Do we know what Rasulullah raised it or did not raise it? We don't have any way, which way. Don't have this way or that way. Did any sahabi object to it? No. Did any sahabi not raise him? No. Then it becomes a hujjah. Some of the sahaba, for example, Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu, He used to put his hands in the middle of his knees in ruku'. And this is something he did. But other Sahaba criticized him for this. This was an early on in Islam, and then Rasulullah said to put the hands on the knees. Now that fi'l of Sahabi is no longer a hujjah. That is a mawquf hadith. Or it goes to a tabi'i. And a tabi'i is the one who saw a Sahabi. And that is also a type of hadith. What is that called? Maktu'a. Munkati' and maktu' and mursal, and some of these terms were used by some of the ulama interchangeably, and Ibn Hajar mentioned Nuzhat al-Nadr, but I'm not really going to go into all of that, because this is the terminology we use today. This is the standardized terminology that we use today. Ibn Hajar also asks about, and he mentions about some of the people that became Muslim in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they were Muslim from the time of Jahiliyyah. I mean, they were alive during the time of Jahiliyyah, and then they became Muslim, but they never saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, what is the hukam on them? Some of the ulama considered them Sahaba. But what is rajih is we consider them from the senior tabi'een. Even though they were alive in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, an example is Najashi. Najashi, he was alive in Jahiliyyah. He was alive during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He became a Muslim during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he died during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we do not consider him a Sahabi, because he never met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we consider him from the senior tabi'un, because he met Sahaba. Qais, Uwais al-Qarni from Yemen. Uwais al-Qarni, same hukam. And he was alive during the time of Rasulullah, but to take care of his mother, he stayed behind. Rasulullah talked about his fadail, told Umar radiallahu to have him make dua for you and others. There is also Qais. We mentioned, Ibn Hajar gave many examples here as well. Let's see if I have them to join with you. No, I don't. He didn't give them in Nusa actually. I have them in my notes. There is a group, and I wanted to mention them so you can, inshallah, remember them. I have a lot of notes. Table. Imam Muslim has listed these, and I copied these from one of my own shuyukh, so I put them together. Abu Umar al-Shaybani, Sa'id ibn Iyash, Iyas al-Shaybani, Suwaid ibn Ghafala, Bashir ibn Amr, Aswad ibn Yazid, Amr ibn Muhaymin, there is Qais, and then there is Ibn Abdurrahman, Ahnaf ibn Qais, there is Uwais al-Qarni, as we mentioned, Abu Muslim al-Khuwaylani, al-Maghrabi, al-Aswad ibn Hilal al-Mughayrabi, and others, Abu Uthman al-Nahdi. These are people like al-Najashi and others. They were there in the time of Jahiliyyah, but there were also people that became Muslim but never met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hukum on them is they are senior tabi'een. Tayyib, are aqwal of tabi'un a hujjah? No and yes. They are not a hujjah independently, but they can be used tashrihan for a hukam. If a tabi'i does an ibadah, that's not a hujjah. If a tabi'i gives a hukam, that's not a hujjah. Tayyib? But if there is an ibadah already established and a senior tabi'i, not the junior tabi'un, not somebody that just saw a sahabi, a senior tabi'i explains that, then the hukam there becomes that of mawquf, and that can become a hujjah. طيب. But the qawl and fi'l of tabi by itself usually is not a hujjah. طيب. This is inshallah what we mentioned today. فقال المؤلف مؤلف said الأول يعني that which is to Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is مرفوع الثاني that which comes from a sahabi is موقوف الثالث هو المقطوع طيب inshallah we'll stop here and he mentioned that some of the ulama call this athar and things like this but the most important thing to understand what is a مرفوع hadith and what are its types what is a موقوف hadith and what are its types and what is a مقطوع hadith and what are its types so that when we talk about a hadith You can understand that. And when we give something raf'a or wuquf, hukman, you should understand how that's done. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا